from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Friends, will you bow together with me in prayer? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time on and forevermore. Guardian God, we place before you now the things that most trouble us today, our pains, our worries, our fears, and sorrows, and challenges. God, you surround us to shield and protect us, so that we can be free to live the lives of generosity and goodwill for which we were created. You do not give us empty, insipid promises that nothing will ever go wrong for us if we just believe hard enough. Instead, you give us the rich and full promise that in you is life, and the life is the light of all people, that with you nothing will be impossible, that you, by the power at work within us, are able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. That is the guardianship we need today, O God. Yours is the only promise that will do in these disorienting and extraordinary times. Guardian God, surround us to shield and protect us in your way. Comforting God, you surround us to embrace us, and we could all use something like a hug right now. Those who bear wounds and infirmities, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, the bereaved, the misunderstood, the shamed, the beleaguered, those who are afraid that soon they won't be able to make it any longer, and those who no longer care. The forgotten, those who are far from home, and those who are unable to leave their home. The baffled, crying children separated from their parents. The missionary servant of your word confined to quarters unjustly. The parents who cannot feed or protect their children from bombing raids and famines designed, ordained, and appointed by kings and strategists in high places far away. Comforting God, surround us to embrace us, and for Christ's sake, teach us to embrace those whom he would and did embrace when the body of Christ was his body. Ordering God, you surround us to remind us where we are, and that the boundaries have fallen for us in pleasant places. Teach us to value our environment, and to take off our shoes when we are on holy ground. God, who can bring order from chaos, while reserving the right and maintaining the absolute authority to put our ingeniously sophisticated plans and clever designs into a blender and hand them back to us as a puree, surround us to remind us that in you alone we are on solid ground and always have a place. Interceding God, surround us to stage an intervention. Make us hear you constantly saying how much you love us. Correct our missteps. Interrupt our addictions. They are legion, and we are stunningly adept at getting ourselves lost in them. Intervening God, interrupt our straying from the path, our losing the thread, are missing the point. Uplifting God, You surround us like a gently flowing river to carry us into the flow of your truth, lifting us on a tide of faithfulness so that our feet are swept along in the easy current of your breathtaking grace and beauty. We miss that, O God, far too often. We're looking down at our cell phones, or we're absorbed by trivialities and pointless commercial diversions. Uplifting God, surround us like a bevy of helium balloons and lift our feet from the ground in the giddy, freeing, gravity-defying recognition that there is a God in this universe, the God of our lives and all the universe, who loves us more than we can possibly realize. In Christ's name and in the joy of the salvation he has bought us, we pray. Amen. Psalm 125 is one of the 15 psalms labeled Songs of Ascents, as in going up ascents. That inscription at the beginning of each of those 15 psalms, a song of ascents, is not conclusively understood by Bible scholars. It may refer to the structure of the psalms that in a way seems to climb from one verse to another. Or it may refer to the act of going up to Jerusalem. Songs that would have been sung by the people as they went up to Jerusalem to the temple in pilgrimage. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Going to the temple meant something to the Israelites as a people and to each individual who had a relationship with God. Beaten as a nation, weary of being attacked as people and as a people, powerless against the overwhelming might of occupying forces and trying to survive in a world, let alone a whole universe, where it always felt like things were stacked up against you. It always felt like, and was usually true actually, that they were surrounded by enemies who were pitilessly oppressive to the nation of Israel and who spoke and acted dishonestly, deceitfully, and with destructive personal cruelty to each one of them. So to ascend to Jerusalem, to go up to the temple, was to remember that God is stronger than even the most oppressive enemy. The first of those songs of ascents, that's Psalm 120. It says, "In my distress I cry to the Lord, deliver me from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. And woe is me that I am an alien in Meshech, that I must live among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." In other words, reputation, community, and home have all been taken from the Israelite who is praying that song or singing that song of ascents. Millions of people, 68.5 million people to be specific, according to the United Nations, are today displaced from their homes by violence, by gangs and thugs and war and absolute lack of the basic necessities of survival, 68.5 million. But our circumstances don't need to be that physically dire in order for us to know the delicate value of our roots and our reputation and our community and our home, and how lost and anxious and frustrated and lonely we feel when any of those are threatened. And so the pilgrims went on their way up to Jerusalem as families, as neighbors, as communities, to go and meet God again. Like the white cop and the black youth, both of whom in the intensely fraught aftermath of a high-tension tragedy recognized in each other that they both just needed a hug and a break more than they needed a lecture. like those who have recognized through simple experience and observation what's been proven time and time again in study after study, that children who from infancy feel their parents' arms around them are healthier in practically every category, physically, mentally, emotionally. It's measurable. The growth and the ability and health is entirely different with children who are held by their parents and those who cannot be held. Like the Christians, Muslims, and Jews in the United States and the Middle East and Europe and everywhere else in the world who voluntarily and enthusiastically encircle and protect members of the other communities in moments of extreme danger and at times when they are most vulnerable, namely when they are praying. All going up to Jerusalem to worship together. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." The covenant people of God knew that they were God's people and that God surrounded them in love as the mountains surround Jerusalem. And then Jesus taught the people of God that all people are God's people. And then he gave up his body for us and for all people and left us in the world to be the arms of God for the world. So we are now the ones who, in Christ's name, are called to surround all of God's people with the love of Jesus. And now every time we see anyone whom the world does not embrace, the letter of James invites us to respond not only with our words, but with our open arms to the question, "My brothers and sisters, do you really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ?"